Hey everyone, I am Reva and just want to take a moment and thank you for listening to our studio podcast. Although we are here in Greenville, South Carolina, we are grateful for your support to see the message of Jesus go out all over the world. In case you are not aware, we have a YouTube channel, which you can find the link in our podcast bio. We hope you enjoy this week's talk and it encourages you and it helps you to be the human God designed you to be. So with that, let's get right to it.
Thankful to be here with you this morning. I send greetings from Eric. He is in Athens speaking at a church, and he'll be back this afternoon. We had an incredible Thanksgiving. Our youngest daughter came in from New York, and our family got to be together here in Greenville, which is a gift, not traveling when you have family everywhere else except for here almost. And we had friends over. And our youngest daughter said, I really want to do traditional Thanksgiving this year. I'm like, okay, because sometimes we do Mexican food or other things. And so we said, well, what is your dream? Because she lives in New York, has a small apartment. Her dream was just to be in a house with a fireplace and then make food. So I'm like, we can do that. So she set the menu for our gathering. And mashed potatoes, turkey, stuffing, and she really wanted green bean casserole. And so I'm like, okay, we're making all this stuff. This is not stuff that I made a lot. She just really just wanted to. And so we go get the green beans. She wanted everything from scratch, but she said, oh, it says get cream of mushroom soup. And so we bought the soup. We get home. She goes, actually, I don't want to use cans. We're going to make it from scratch. So I'm like, well, ditch the cans. I have 4 cans of cream mushroom soup if anybody wants them. And she made it from scratch. It was incredible, you guys. We ate so much food. And the people who came over to my house, I was embarrassed because we told them to bring some, like their favorite thing to share. We did not need any of the extra food. We had more food. We were done and we were like, oh man, what else are we going to eat? Who's going to eat this food? So, and the thing, I don't know how it is for you for Thanksgiving, but we wanted to make sure and have appetizers before, and then you get ready for the meal. But by the time the meal came, you're like, I'm already full of appetizers. I don't even know what we're doing. But then she made a homemade apple pie and pumpkin pie as well. So then what are you supposed to do after you eat? So we were like, we have to take a walk because this is not going well. And we made sure to have everyone take food home as well. I was reading about how much we eat during Thanksgiving. Did anyone else eat a lot of food? Like, it was just a day of, let's say, feasting. And LuckyFarmers.com says, on average, 46 million turkeys are consumed on Thanksgiving. Americans consume 80 million pounds of cranberries on the holiday, 214 million pounds of potatoes. Did you guys help in this? I did. And 50 million pounds of sweet potatoes, as well as 483,000 pounds of pumpkin, 77 million pounds of ham, and 40.5 million rolls. So we just did a good job eating, and it was just a day. It also says that the average American consumes, any guesses on how many calories? In this feast, 3,150 calories in a meal. Do you guys think you beat that, or are you around that? I think I might have been around that. There's a lot of butter in those potatoes. But I want to tell you that there's a difference between eating and feasting. See, eating, we are made with limits as humans and needs. God made us that we actually need calories to be able to burn, to live. We need nutrients, and so we eat. We eat out of necessity. We eat to survive. But see, feasting is different. What I did on Thanksgiving, it was just an absurd amount of food, way more than I need, and we ended up with so much that we had to give out containers and say, please, please take whatever you want. It could be a week of meals for you that you walk away with. Feasting is abundant and extravagant, and there's a big difference between eating and feasting. Have you guys heard the story of the family that went on the cruise? And they did not have a lot of money, and they saved up all their money to take their kids on this cruise. And they were really excited, and they saved their money, they got on the cruise, and they were enjoying themselves and like amazed that they got to be in this special place. And they would walk by the restaurant and go, wow, that looks so nice in there. Wouldn't it be amazing? I wonder what it's like to eat in there. And they're like, gosh, that would be so nice. But we saved up all our money just so we could get on this cruise. And so they spent the days on the cruise and really enjoyed themselves. But they always wondered, I wonder, gosh, what the food must taste like in the restaurant that they kept passing. Then they talked about it and they said, well, maybe we'll just check. Like, we have one more day and we'll just check and see how much is it to eat in the restaurant, because maybe we could figure out how to go there before our cruise is over. And so they went to ask how much it cost to eat at the restaurant. And they said, well, this is part of your cruise. It's included. You could eat here as much as you want for free. And they had spent their whole cruise thinking it must cost something. And so they went and enjoyed the meal, but they wasted the whole time not accessing this yummy food that was theirs and part of what they paid for. And I'm like, oh, isn't that crazy? But how many of us do that in our daily lives? We have access to everything in Christ, but yet we sit there and we walk by it and look, go, I wonder, wow, what it's like to be in there and to eat that. So today I actually want to talk about feasting. I've been thinking about this a lot, especially after Thanksgiving, what the difference is and what we have access to. And I've also had a couple different experiences the last few months meeting with people and realizing how many of us, myself included, make choices when we go without and we don't have to. I'm really encouraged by David. David is someone in the Old Testament that when they talk about him and his love for God, it's stunning. It's catalytic to me. I'm like, I want to be like that. I want that to be said about me. Generations were saved. Generations were spared because of David. I'm like, God really loved David. And the thing about David is he didn't just know God, but we actually learn that he was able to access parts of God that even weren't till the New Testament. It's just crazy the stuff that David got to experience. In Psalms 36, 7 through 9, it says, how priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. And I want to stop right there. You're going to see some words and you're going to see how David got to experience God. Take refuge is one of them. They feast on the abundance of your house and you give them drink from the rivers of delight. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. This is a stunning set of verses, and they're very passionate. First, I want to highlight how David accessed God. You're seeing words like refuge, feast, drink. He didn't just see and observe God and be like, yes, you're good, but you're so good, I'm going to drink and receive from you. I love how David taught us to feast and receive. And then the other thing is you get to see extravagance. Here, this is the kingdom. This is God. This is, you see abundance. You see rivers of delight. It could have just said, there's like a cup of delight, but not a cup, a river. You know about rivers? They just keep on flowing. It keeps on coming. And then it's not just you are life, but you are the fountain of life. That means it just keeps on coming. This is the God who we serve. And to think anything less is just not true. It's just not true. It's hard for us to conceive because we're humans and everything has to be tangible. I'm like, God is so good that he keeps on coming. You can keep on feasting and you're going to walk away with leftovers. So today I want to talk about feasting, and feasting on God forms joy in us that circumstances can't take away. So those two things, feasting and joy, it feels like the Lord is inviting us into something new if we're willing to learn to feast on him in every situation, in every circumstance. As well, I believe that he has joy for us that we need. Do you know that the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength? Anyone need strength? Yes, we do, because we're living in the world. We need the strength to be able to navigate all the circumstances and situations. And I believe the Lord has something fresh and new for you and for me today, but also in this season. And he wants to teach us to feast on him. So thank you, Lord, for who you are. You are so good. Holy Spirit, we love you. And we stay in a posture of worship right now. A worship saying we see you, we respond to you, and we're open. We want all that you have for us. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. to come and know us. Yeah, and we bless our spirits to receive all that you're pouring out right now. Yeah, we love you. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name, amen. So at Studio, our heart is to create a place where God and people meet, where you come and you encounter God, but we can't just stop there. It's not just about encountering God. It's actually learning to receive and to feast on him. And so we're going to talk about that and talk about who he is, because he is the God of extravagance. See, even in Psalms, you see another Psalm of David, Psalms 34:8. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. He was never meant to be observed, never meant just to come. And I speak to us as Christians who come to church on Sundays, because I love coming to church. But even I hear people say, worship was okay. How could worship be okay? Because he never changed. You know, like somehow we got in this kind of consumerism, like I'm just going to observe and just see how well you do it. And like that has nothing to do with what God has for us. Like somehow we missed it along the way. And I just want to say, church, we have an opportunity to learn how to feast on him. And it could be in church, out of church, in the nighttime, in the daytime. It's in every part of your life that we can commune with God. And I believe that as we do that, we're going to experience an overflow that we long for and that the world is waiting for. He is the God of overflow, Psalms 23. And even in the Passion Translation, there's a part it says, you are my feast. Like he is our feast, but it also says, my cup overflows. It's not just my cup is full, and full is good. Like I would like a full cup, but this is the extravagant God. He's the God of overflow. So your cup just isn't full. You have so much more. You need to send leftovers to the people around you and to give them away, because there is so much left over when you feast on him that it never was meant just to stay with you. Freely we receive, freely we give away. That's what he says to his disciples. There's no reason to keep it because it'll just spoil us more than enough. He also says, later Jesus says that in John 6, I am the bread of life. In the Old Testament, manna was provided so that they could have something to eat. In the New Testament, he actually gave himself, and he is our provision. We have so much in him. He is the God of abundance. In John 10:10, it says, the thief does not come except to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and life abundantly. It's more than enough. It's in every aspect. It's all throughout your Bible. This is not just a whisper. It's actually his nature, and it's part of his kingdom. And so when we worship him and we look to him, do not be surprised when it's an extravagant response. And when you haven't seen it yet, that's when you trust and you just do it anyways because you know who he is, because he doesn't change. He's also the God of more than enough. He is the God of Matthew 14, the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. More than 5,000 people were fed with just these simple elements of food because he broke them and gave them. And this is the crazy part. He picks them up and there's 12 baskets left over of food. This is the God we serve. This is not something to be entertained by or something to be observed, but it's something to feast on. The thing about feasting on him is that it begins to change everything. It changes who we are. It changes how we navigate things because it begins to affect who we are inside. Right here on your inside of you is we feast on him and everything changes from the inside out. And it's a lot of times we want to make things perfect on the outside. Like we would bless you. We would all feel better if everything was just in right order. And if you just did that, if I had the house, if I had the right job and the right spouse, it would just be right, right? But that's the backwards way. Like when we try to control the outside instead of actually dealing with what's on the inside. And he, from the beginning, says, you're what I want. You're where I want to dwell. You're what I want to fill and heal. But sometimes we just want to take a side, like, why don't we just start with the people around me? If we could just focus on that. And so I want to talk about where we live from. In this space of feasting, where do we live from? And my motivation for talking about this is the last few months, I have met with many individuals. And if you meet with me in the church setting or Candace as a leader, it's usually because something is going really great in your life, you want to connect, or something's really bad. And people will say a lot like, I am so sorry. This is the reality that I am dealing with. I'm so sorry to have to tell you. And they'll tell me, and they're scared of themselves as they're talking. And I just tell them, I am really proud of you. Thank you for showing up, and thank you for being honest, because that's one of the hardest things for us to do, is first to be honest with ourselves and then to share it with other people. But I want to tell you that the most powerful person in your life is you. Is you. As I'm walking with many other people, that's one of the first things that we abdicate, is our power. We, especially when things go hard, it's much easier to try and control the people around you and the things around you, and then instead of being present with inside yourself. And I was looking at stuff on the internet and just thinking about, why do we try to solve internal things with external outward things? Why do we try to solve internal needs? We reach for external things to fill our internal lack because they're immediate and tangible. And this is to help us to understand, because I think we all navigate this to some degree, and often easier to control than what's happening inside of us. When something feels empty or unsettled in our hearts, our instinct is to soothe it with whatever is closest that is at hand. Sometimes that's achievements. It can be relationships. It can be possessions. It can be busyness, distractions. That's one of the things I hear a lot too, is, oh, I'm so busy. Oh my gosh, I just can't even think. I'm so busy. And I'm like, do we have to be that busy? Are we creating extra busyness so we don't have to deal with other things? And then I think as well, when we do have time, then we just are scrolling on our phone and we're just adding more stuff in our brain. We went to Romania a few weeks ago with 18, 19 of us. I heard this often. Man, it feels like I'm on a vacation. But just know, we woke up early in the morning. We had breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and worked in between all of those meals. But after we thought about it, we weren't on our phones all the time. The meals were provided, so you didn't have to think. You just sat down and ate, and then you just worked your butt off in between all your meals and got to have good, rich connection while we were working. And there is something about being present that feels healthy, but it does require stuff in us. Why do we try to solve internal needs with external things? I want to share three things that are happening inside of us. I believe it's because we fear, we live, and we long. First, we fear facing ourselves. It can feel safer chasing something outside of us than to sit with what's happening inside of us. I love for us to look at this, not because this is healing, but it's just to be aware. When you see this stuff happening, you see yourself filling yourself up with busyness, and you're like, oh, I don't know why I'm doing this. You might want to ask, is there something else that I really should be sitting with? I'm not sure why, if someone else is always the problem, like, oh, if my spouse would just do this, or my boss, that's really the problem. There's usually a constant denominator, and it's you. And I was meeting with someone, and they were sharing how they said, I do good sometimes, and then sometimes I'm just not doing good. It just really depends on the people around me, you know? And this person was getting so triggered because they weren't willing to sit with how they were doing, so they put the responsibility on everybody else around them. And I sat and listened. I'm like, but that's not their responsibility to make you happy. That's not their responsibility to make you feel connected all the time. And I do think it helps when you have people that are being kind and warm, but we have responsibility as individuals. And a lot of times we'll just project, we'll blame, we'll accuse, instead of actually sitting with what's happening inside of here. Secondly, we live in a culture where that teaches us to consume our way to contentment. And if this were true, like that we could, with whatever we consume, then we would be content. If it were true, the richest people in the world would be the most content, right? But we know that's not true. They're not the most fulfilled, the most content people, because that's not where it comes from. We long for something that only God can provide. And so when we try to fill it with anything else, it's just less than, because we were meant for relationship. We were meant to commune and to walk with God and to be in his presence. And so that's really the main space where we're going to get healed, filled, and that it can sustain us. He's the answer. When we stop trying to fill the void inside of us with outside things, that's when God has a chance to come in and actually begin to heal. And I share this because I know we're all on a journey, whether you've been a Christian for your whole life, or you're just coming to know God, or you don't know him yet. Our soul longs to actually know him, to know the Creator. And when we actually make space for that, that's when stuff begins to change. I've seen leaders, even in the last few months, I've seen leaders' worlds crash down because they got confused and thought, oh, I can solve the stuff in here by just doing outward measures. As long as it looks like it's fine and I say the right answers, then that's going to be fine. But that only sustains for a little while, then the world comes crashing down because they never were honest in this place. When we're honest and vulnerable and we come before the Lord, that's when he can actually start. That's when healing can start. And so if you're ever talking to me and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry to tell you this, I'm like, don't be sorry. Thanks for being honest. Thanks for being courageous to show up and to be honest, because that's where healing can begin and real authentic relationship can happen. Because that's what we want, is authentic relationship with him and each other. We're called to be a body and to be one with each other, but that's really hard when we can't even be present with ourselves or honest with ourselves, let alone each other. We were in Romania a few weeks ago, and I feel like I'm still living in a space of overflow of joy that took place on that trip. And I say that not to go, oh, bummer for you, didn't go on the trip. I say that to encourage you that was just a little snapshot of the people that sit in this room and the people that call this place home. It was incredible, the level of camaraderie, the level of joy that happened as we were working. We weren't just feasting, eating ice cream, and sleeping all day and playing at the pool. We were actually getting up. We were working, cutting tile, cleaning stuff, picking up kids in their neighborhoods. It was a beautiful time where there was an overflow of joy in being together. And then last Tuesday, we do Tuesday morning prayer on Zoom every Tuesday at 6:30 if you want to join us. It's you can find it on our website. But we were praying, and there was such a beauty in just sharing. We were just sharing about what we're thankful for, sharing about some scriptures, and then praying together. There was such an overflow. My heart felt like it just wanted to jump out of my chest. And this is just normal stuff. But I say it to say, this is what you have access to. You don't have to walk by and go, I wonder what it's like to eat in that restaurant. Like, this is your life. You're the most powerful one in it. And I want to invite you to come and be present. I want you to invite you to come and to feast on God in every situation, in every circumstance. Joy is not something we simply feel. Joy is something that is grown and cultivated inside of us as we feast on him and we're in his presence. I love Psalm 16:11. Once again, thank you, David. You show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. See, David's feasting, and he doesn't just, you show me the path of life. You are the path of life. That's who our God is. And there's a difference between joy and happiness. How many people are like, oh, that makes my heart so happy. Oh, I'm glad you're so happy. Happiness is great. Joy is amazing. Joy and happiness are not the same thing. Happiness, I have a slide up here. Happiness is based on circumstances, can change quickly. And although happiness is wonderful, it is but temporary. And joy is something that's sustainable. It is based on things that come from the inside. It's rooted in identity, faith, the presence of God. It's rooted in things that don't change, like his goodness, his love, eternity. Joy, number two, is steady and resilient. It's not dependent on circumstances, which is really hard to fully understand. Can you have joy in pain? Can you have joy in loneliness? The Bible says yes. Joy is much deeper than that. In James 1, or it says, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. How do you have joy in trials and challenge? Because joy only gets stronger in the face of challenge. That it's actually joy gives pain purpose. Because it looks in the future and goes, ah, God is building something in me. Because I know that he's the God of extravagance. I know that he's the God of abundance. Therefore, I can trust and be courageous. So I believe that the Lord has fresh joy for us. When we learn to feast on him, we can access things that we did not have before. Joy as well is more of a hot heart posture than a feeling. Because in joy, it's built from trust, gratitude, surrender, and hope. This is huge. And I love to share this because no matter what you're going through right now, I believe the Lord wants to fill you with joy today. Today, and I love to talk about this in the holiday season because the holiday season brings up lots of stuff, lots of fun stuff, lots of busy stuff, lots of obligations, responsibilities, and then that word family, which sometimes is a good word, sometimes it's a bad word, sometimes it's a who knows what kind of word. But could we feast on God in all of it? And could we experience joy in all of it? What if we feasted on God and then went to hang out with family? Would it change who we were or what we had to give or how they experienced us? My grandmother, years ago, she was taking care of my grandfather who had dementia. And my grandparents, we're very close to them. They raised me along with my parents, and they're both passed now. But my grandma was always someone I looked up to. But when I watched her take care of my grandfather when he had dementia, she went to hero status in my mind and in my brain because I'd go visit them. They lived a couple hours away, and we're really close. She's always very open with me, and I knew that she would do things at nighttime like crossword puzzles or watch things on TV because she didn't want her mind to keep thinking like, "What? How long am I going to be able to take care of my husband before I won't be able to at my house?" You know, like the things that you worry and think about. They were married since I think she was 17 years old, and but when we would sit and talk in their living room, and my grandpa, he would think that she's his mom sometimes. He would do lots of different things that were just challenging. And her world was getting smaller and smaller, and she's a very social, outgoing person. And I just knew things were challenging because she was at home all the time. But they would sit in their rocking chair, and I would just talk with her. And I would say, "How's it going, Grandma?" And she would say, "Candace, we have so much to be thankful for." I'm like, "Yeah, you too." She goes, "Really, I don't have anything else to say except for we have so much to be thankful for." And I learned watching her feast in that moment and all the stuff that she was navigating, she could have clinged on to anything, and she chose to feast on gratitude. And there's something about gratitude is it creates a pathway to joy. This is really big because I know that life is challenging. I know that there's a lot of things that we're going to navigate, but I want you to know we can feast on him in anything, and it can blow your mind because it doesn't make sense. But that's the thing. 5 loaves and 2 fishes don't make sense either. And what you have in 12 baskets left over. But that he is the fountain of life. And if we want to access that, gratitude's one of our first things that we could go to. So I want to ask as I'm closing today, what does feasting look like tomorrow morning for you? What does it look like before bed tonight? Or even when we go to work? What does feasting look like at work? Or you pick your scenarios, but that's what we have the access to do. And I believe that feasting starts with small choices. And I have a list of them up there just to get us started. I think it starts with taking time to pause and to thank him. And we can do this anytime. This is so simple. You could be taking the garbage out and you're like, "Wow, thank you, Lord, for today." I love to just walk outside and just be like, "Wow, thank you, God." But we can take time to pause and thank him anytime. And then secondly, open our word. Get some truth in us. Read it and just feast on who he is. that he is the word of life. And then this is my act of worship, to turn my affection toward him. And you can do this anywhere. You could be at DMV waiting in line and just like, wow. You just look towards him and you go, wow, there's no one like you. There's nothing like your love. It's a heart change. It's a heart direction. It's worship. You don't even need to have Reva up here to worship. I always pick Reva, but I will worship at DMV too. We just take a breath, breathe in his presence. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Here's the other ones. Tell him the truth about your heart. I don't want us to live segmented, segregated lives. That's what I want to see us close the gap on, that we wouldn't be people and leaders who love God, but we never walked into the restaurant to feast on him. That we would be honest and actually take ourselves, and then lastly, letting him meet you where you actually are. People are like, gosh, I'm so embarrassed. I wish I was telling you something different. I'm like, I'm just glad you're being honest. Thank you so much. Can we be like that with God and invite him into wherever we are and offer him our heart? Because that's all he wanted in the first place, whatever condition it is. Why don't you stand up?
Thanks for listening to today's talk. If you're interested in learning more about Studio here in Greenville, you can go check out our website, studiogreenville.com, and you can give us a follow on Instagram. Our handle is studio.greenville. Have a great week.